Millions of people claim to be Christian. Yet Christianity is composed of hundreds of denominations. How can we account for the many different and conflicting practices in Christianity? Have you ever wondered why there are so many variations? And how can we know whether the variety of church teachings and customs faithfully represent the teachings of Jesus Christ? Christ promised that He would build His church. Yet it might surprise you to realize that most Christians don't follow Christ. Stay tuned to Beyond Today as we discuss Christ versus Christianity.
Join our host Steve Myers and his guests as they help you understand your future on Beyond Today.
Why are there so many different Christian churches today? Is there a difference between what Christians believe and what the Bible teaches? Thomas Jefferson once said, "The greatest enemies of Jesus are the doctrines and creeds of the church." Could that be true? How can there be a difference between Christ and Christianity? To discuss this today, I've invited two guests, editor of World News and Prophecy, Darris McNeely, and instructor in theology, Dr. Ralph Levy. Welcome.
Glad to be here.
Good to be here.
As we discuss this topic, does it really matter what we believe as Christians?
Well, I think it does, Steve. If a person professes to be a Christian, that means that they are a follower of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, described in the Gospels of the New Testament in the Bible. And a disciple is someone who follows along after the teachings of their leader, their master, and their chief teacher. And to be called a Christian means that you're going to obey what Jesus said. So it does make a big difference to know what Christ taught, what he believed, what his message was, and what he taught his followers to do after him. To be able to bear that title of a Christian, it's very important.
Well, when you look at Christianity, what did Christ say that he would do, though? There's so many variations out there today. Was he more specific than that?
Yeah, in fact, he was very specific. When we look into the New Testament, Jesus Christ made a very definitive statement. He's talking to Peter, and he says to him, "I will build my church." A very famous saying, but it means something that maybe a lot of people don't often think about. And he went on to say, "The gates of the grave will not prevail against it." And then the New Testament goes on to say that Jesus Christ is alive. So he's got to be around.
He didn't say churches. He used the plural. He said, "I will build my church."
In the singular. That's right.
Singular. Yes. Well, when you look at what he did, how do we justify these kinds of things today? When we look around, we see all these variations of churches. What do Christians base their beliefs on then?
Well, they base their beliefs in some cases upon the traditions of men, the founders of their particular religious belief. They base their belief on tradition, what previous generations taught and understood about a particular idea. Today you will see people who are what we call kind of a cafeteria Christian. They pick and choose what they believe from various sources and various ideas. They may pick up something from Eastern religion. They may pick up something from a New Age type of philosophy. And they will blend that in with a Christian belief. They'll believe in Jesus Christ and think that they are Christian, but they have brought in other teachings from other non-Christian sources. And that forms the belief of a lot of people today as well.
But shouldn't the Bible be the guide? Doesn't the Bible have to be the textbook?
The Bible should be the guide. Yes, absolutely. I think Darris makes a good point about traditions, that often traditions come to cut across what the Bible actually says. But everybody claims that the Bible is their guide. Mm-hmm. There is this very famous scripture in the New Testament when Paul is writing to the young evangelist Timothy, and he says, "All scripture is profitable for doctrine, for correction, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness." So everybody says, yes, Bible, but then things begin to get a little bit more complicated.
Now, that's an interesting scripture, because when the Apostle Paul wrote that, there wasn't the New Testament at all. It was just the Old Testament at the time. And so that then draws us back a little bit and reminds us you can't just throw out the Old Testament and say, "Well, I've got the New and that's all I need," because that says it's good for doctrine, it's good for instruction in righteousness as well. And so it can't help me but wonder, what about the Old Testament? Does the church have roots pre-New Testament?
Yes, the church was based on the Old Testament. After all, this is what they had. And when we go back into the Old Testament, the story begins, in a sense, with one individual who's very important, a man by the name of Abraham, whom the New Testament points back to as a kind of a prototype.
Well, Abraham was called the father of the faithful. He was also the father of a son named Isaac, who had a son named Jacob, who had 12 sons, one of whom was named Judah. And his descendants, Judah's descendants, were the ones that you read about, really, when you come to the story of the New Testament. You want to tie that story back into the Old Testament, show the connection, Steve. You have to realize that the people who formed the foundation, the first members of the church that we read about in the Bible, the followers of Jesus, were descendants of the tribe of Judah, one of the sons of Israel, or Jacob, and they were descendants directly from Abraham. So the roots are very strong there.
Now, that's an interesting point when we look at the example of Abraham, and was it James that said he was a friend of God? He was a friend. Now, what made him a friend?
As we mentioned, he's the man that God begins to work with in the beginning of the story. But when we read about the life of Abraham, he took a huge leap to serve God. And in the chapter 26 of the book of Genesis, it tells us something very interesting about Abraham, that he kept God's laws. He kept the commandments. He kept the statutes of God. Genesis 26, verse 5.
So he obeyed.
He obeyed, yes. He did what God told him to do.
And so in a sense, we find those roots of obedience, the roots of following what Christ would teach, all the way back there in Abraham. So you would say that this was a significant thing. We need to understand Abraham because there is a connection to the church today. Would that be fair to say?
There is. Jesus talked quite a bit about Abraham. The Apostle Paul talked about Abraham and made that connection. Really, the lesson that a Christian should learn from Abraham is that Abraham obeyed. He turned his life around and he left his comfort zone and he left his home, his family, all that he knew. And God said, go to a land that I will show you. Abraham did a complete about-face in his life and a reversal that took him to a new land and to a new religion and a new way of life, really a new God, Steve. Abraham went after and followed a God that his forefathers and his neighbors did not know, and that's really the connection and the importance of to us today in the church of understanding about Abraham, because today people really, if they're going to be a Christian and obey the God of the Bible, they're going to come face to face with a God that they did not know before, and many people around them did not know, and it's a whole new world, a whole new life that one starts out on, just like Abraham had.
So if churches today don't follow the example of Abraham and his obedience, they really can't claim to be following Christ.
Yes, if you're Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise in the book of Galatians. It's tied in very tightly. So Abraham is, in a sense, that prototype. Romans chapter 4 refers to Abraham as the father of the faithful. So he's one whom we look to as a model, as an example for acting in faith and subjecting oneself to what God gave him to do.
Now, that's an interesting point because it draws us to the point of, what are we doing? Are we obeying what Jesus taught? Are we obeying Abraham's example? And in fact, when we think about a church, is any church as good as another? And how important is understanding the teachings of Jesus to our choice as a church? This is something you need to understand. We have a free booklet that will help you to find the answers in your Bible. It talks about the church Jesus built. It's free. Go online to beyondtoday.tv. Get your free copy now. And we'll be talking more about it when we come back.
In almost any city on earth today, there are some who say they're Christians in a church following Jesus Christ. But with 500 different churches, many with opposing practices, who's got it right? After all, what was the church like that Jesus himself founded? Find out the surprising answer in your free copy of The Church That Jesus Built. Just call 1-888-886-8632 or go to beyondtoday.tv. You need to know that Jesus predicted the rise of a counterfeit Christianity. And you also need to know the truth about Jesus' own practices followed by the church in the Bible. They were so different. But can you find out what was the church like that Jesus built? Yes. Just call toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632 or go to beyondtoday.tv on the web. Get the surprising answers in your free copy of The Church That Jesus Built.
Our free offer today is the booklet, The Church Jesus Built. Do you know that Christ was very specific and said he would build his church? Get this free booklet, beyondtoday.tv. You can download it right now and start reading it or order it free. Beyondtoday.tv is where you can get it at. So we've been discussing Christ versus Christianity. Is there a difference between religion, church, Christianity, and the teachings of Christ? Is it possible to go to church and not really be following Jesus? Interesting question when you put it in those terms. Can we be Christians without Christ?
Short answer, no. But I'm not going to stop there, okay? It goes beyond that because we read it as a scripture that says, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus in the book of Philippians. And so the Bible takes it to a very deep level and tells us, in fact, if you're going to be a Christian, not only do you have to act like Christ, you've got to think like Christ.
We claim lots of titles, but there's a whole lot more to it than that.
Obviously, you can call yourself a Christian, you can call yourself whatever name that you like, but if you're going to do that, you need to know, again, what the teacher, what the person behind your faith and your religion really taught and really believed. And to be a Christian, you're going to have to really ask yourself some very hard questions as to what he taught, what he believed, and what that means for your life.
People like to pick and choose different things rather than focus.
Well, I talked about that earlier, that, Steve, the idea of a cafeteria-style Christianity that a lot of people have, or a smorgasbord of Christianity if you're from the North Country.
And I like this, and I don't like that.
That's
so I'm going to leave that off my plate.
I don't like green beans, so I'm going to go straight for the dessert. I'm going to go for those things that taste good, that may be make me feel good for a period of time, but they're a lot of empty calories. I crash and burn after a little bit of time. And when you look at some of the ideas and religious teachings and beliefs that people cloak themselves in, they really don't hold up in substance to the teaching of the scriptures a lot of times, and they don't really give people the answers to the hard questions of life.
You know, I wonder, did Jesus really address the difference between truly following him and this idea of just being religious?
Yes, he addressed the question, didn't he? There is a passage, there's more than one passage, where he talks about people who call him Lord, Lord. They came to him and they, it was on their lips. Yeah, you're the Lord, you're the Lord. And then they say, we did all these things in your name. You know, we preached in your name, we cast out demons in your name, we worked miracles in your name. And then his response seems pretty tough because he turns back to them and he says, I've never known you. You depart from me, you who work lawlessness, which is the best translation of that word.
Yeah, I think it's important to understand that when Christ was talking to those people in his day, they were not Christians. Christianity did not exist at that time. But they were religious. They were followers of Judaism, as it had developed to that particular point in time. They were following the traditions of the Old Testament. But they were not really following. They had substituted a lot of the traditions of men as a result of many different episodes of their past history.
So there was a form.
There was a form of religion, but it was not true to the original, and that's what Christ, who was a prophet, was trying to get them back to understand, that they had to go back to the original and understand what that meant, and that really showed up that their present belief was pretty pale by comparison.
And I can see how that would fit in with 2 Timothy 3:4, where it talks about having a form of godliness but denying his power.
That was a problem that Paul, the Apostle Paul, addressed in that later on in that first century, where people, again, had strayed already at that point from Christianity, from the teachings of Jesus, and they were bringing in other ideas and customs, but again, they were cloaking themselves with a form of godliness, but they were denying the power, as he says there in Timothy. And they, again, it just shows that you can cloak yourself in a garb of pseudo-religiosity, and yet there's no substance to it, and there's no power there. There's no power to change one's life. There's no power, really, to connect with the true God. It's an empty, false religion that is taking a person nowhere very quickly.
Where do the teachings come from, then?
Everybody claims the Bible. Everybody claims the Bible. But for many people, it isn't purely biblical teaching. And historically, when Jesus Christ took the religious leaders of his time to task over their traditions, he says, you can't put your traditions on top of and ahead of what God commands in his commandments. So ultimately, if somebody really wants to be a Christian, they've got to put God first and Jesus Christ first and what they give, rather than tradition that comes from anywhere.
And I'm sure that he spoke very specifically about those types of issues, that people would do that, and they'd reject the actual commandments and teachings of Christ.
And they did. And that very early on in that period of time, people began to inject other ideas from Greek thought, from other ideas that were extant at the time that quickly overshadowed the teachings that Jesus had put into the church, and even another gospel crept in, as Paul wrote about, and Christ warned very specifically about false teachers being among them, and that they would arise and cause people to err when understanding the purpose and the plan of God.
That's interesting. I'm sure many of our viewers are probably watching and wonder where some of their teachings came from. Maybe it was from their mom and dad, or their pastor, or their church, or wherever, and they're finding there's a discrepancy between what Jesus taught and what they're believing, or what they've been taught from men. Now, with that difficulty, what do you do? What do you do when you find that what you've been taught doesn't follow the example and the teaching of Jesus? What do we do?
Well, I think you hold your ideas up to the cold, clear light of Scripture, and let that light shine on your ideas and your belief, and determine whether or not what you believe is true. Most people get their ideas and their belief from a parent, from another adult, or from the tradition of their particular family or ethnic group that they were born into. And most people don't really question what they believe. But if you hold the light of Scripture up to it, in many cases, people are going to be surprised to find that what they may have thought was Christian indeed is not.
That can be a confusing question, can't it? Because mm-hmm. people say, well, I've heard this all through my life, but where should I go with this? I think here on Beyond Today, we would encourage people, I would encourage people, take a look at what it says in the Scripture, look at it as if you never read it before, mm-hmm. and see what it really says.
Was there a test that you can do? Is there some type of, you know, looking to see, well, what can I really find from this?
Yeah, there are biblical tests, and the biblical tests seem pretty tough, really. Back in the Old Testament, in the book of Deuteronomy, there was a test for true prophets or false prophets. In Deuteronomy chapter 13, and the test was, if anyone comes along and says, I'm a prophet, and they try to turn you away from the true God, or they teach laws and instructions contrary to what you've been given, then you were to reject them. In fact, ancient Israel was to exercise capital punishment against them. That was serious business.
There most certainly is a test for us today. It's a test of our character. It's a test if we're going to believe the truth of the Bible. And so we cannot claim to be Christian without Christ. You need to know more about it, so stay tuned. We'll be right back.
In almost any city on earth today, there are some who say they're Christians in a church following Jesus Christ. But with 500 different churches, many with opposing practices, who's got it right? After all, what was the church like that Jesus himself founded? Find out the surprising answer in your free copy of The Church That Jesus Built. Just call 1-888-886-8632 or go to beyondtoday.tv on the web. Get the surprising answers in your free copy of The Church That Jesus Built.
Does God really exist? Scientists now say you can prove it. What's the best way to rear your children for success? Questions need positive answers to the world's greatest issues and your personal ones as well. That's what you'll get when you get your free subscription to the Good News Magazine. Call toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. Or go to beyondtoday.tv for your free subscription.
President John Adams said, "Nowhere in the Gospels do we find a precept for creeds, confessions, oaths, doctrines, and a whole boatload of other foolish trumpery than we find Christianity encumbered with." Now that's another way of saying that the teachings of Jesus and the teachings of Christianity often find themselves on opposite sides of the fence. I suppose in a way that's saying that Christ himself warned that there would be counterfeits. Is that fair? Didn't Christ say that there would be counterfeit Christianity today?
Yeah, counterfeits, that's right. He said there were going to be counterfeits. He warned the people of his time that Isaiah had told them, you know, full well you accept the traditions of men instead of the commandments of God. And so he said that back then they got carried away with some of their traditions, and he warned that people would come along in the name of various different religions and put their traditions first. Jesus said, don't do that. You can't get away with that.
It didn't happen right from the beginning?
Very clear in the New Testament, in the Gospels and in the writings of the Apostle Paul, Steve, that after the church had begun, there were problems of false doctrine, teaching coming in. Christ warned that false prophets would come on the scene saying that they were teaching in his name and they were not. The Apostle Paul warned a group of elders at the city of Ephesus very famous passage in Acts chapter 20. He said that, behold, you know, beware, because they're going to, men are going to come in appearing to be sheep or shepherds, but they're going to be wolves wearing sheep's clothing. And they would be bringing in false teachings that would lead them away. Peter, the Apostle Peter, warned about this as well. Paul talked about another gospel to the book, to the people in Galatia. So we see clear evidence in the New Testament scriptures that a different type of Christianity began to develop alongside the faith that Christ put into the church, the faith once delivered, as Jude calls it, and began to distort the image of the kingdom of God and the message of Christ, and lead people astray, creating competing ideas that eventually grew into a much, much larger majority as time went on.
So if we take that and project that to today, we look at today, is that just as true as ever, that the Christianity that's the counterfeit has really become the majority?
The counterfeit variety is the big one. The counterfeit variety is the one that is taken
over. Of course, I suppose there's lots of varieties, but you still have lots of counterfeits out there.
Yes, you do. Jesus said, narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be who find it. And he also identifies the body of people who are really trying to follow him as a little flock. So you've got a small group of people whom Christ says they really belong to him. And then you've got many others who say they are, but really they're the counterfeit variety.
And Christ talked about the fact that his followers would be a small flock. He said broad would be the way to destruction, the corollary to what Ralph said there, that the false direction that people would go would be after ideas that would be easier to follow, that would perhaps be a bit more comfortable and more familiar to them based on what they had believed previously or was the accepted norm of the time. And the idea that, you know, the true followers of Jesus very clearly are pictured as a small group of people. There's a scene from the book of Revelation, chapter 12, of the true followers of Christ being a very small, persecuted group of people. They're identified by two factors: the fact that they have the testimony of Jesus and they keep the commandments of God. Those are two identifying factors right there for the people of God, but they are small, and they are persecuted by a much, much larger religious entity, as described in that particular episode. So those who are going to be followers of Jesus, we really get from the very beginning, are going to be a small group. You find even at the end of Christ's ministry, there were only a small number of people who were still listening and there when Christ and the church began. After the miracles were gone and the free lunch had gone by, all that was left were the teachings of Jesus. And those teachings are pretty hard in one sense. Mm-hmm. And it requires a sacrifice and a change of life.
I suppose it's almost opposite of what the catchphrase has been for years now. What would Jesus do? We hear that phrase all the time, but then when we actually compare what he actually taught, what he actually said, what he actually did, that's far from people actually following that example. And we find that counterfeit forced into religion where it shouldn't be there at all.
If most people really answered that question of what would Jesus do and looked into the scriptures to discover, they would find they are looking at a person that they really do not know.
Now that's a tough question, because we look at ourselves, if we examine ourselves, and we realize, hey, this isn't exactly what's there in the Bible. This isn't what Christ taught. You know, how can we be sure that we're just not being religious as opposed to being Christian?
First and foremost, I think the big thing that we have to do is find out how Jesus lived when he was on earth for 33 and a half years, how he lived his life, what did he do, what was his practice, what was his way of life, what did he teach. And as we learn those things, if we walk in the light of what he did, and not just what would he do, what did he do, mm-hmm. and therefore we take it on and make it part of our way of life, bit by bit we can come to understand what the true Christian way of life is.
Mm-hmm. And people are sincere today. Many want to follow what's right. They don't know what's right. And yet, sincerity isn't the measure, is it?
No, sincerity isn't. People are sincere today. And we don't want to discount that,
absolutely,
Steve. There are a lot of good people today who are trying to do what is right, and they do fear God, and the God that they know and the God that they understand. They are sincere. But coming to really understand the fullness of the truth of God and the reality of the gospel and the message that Christ brought and the reality of the message of the church is a whole other dimension that opens up a new understanding of the scriptures that most people don't understand. And it's really because most people are not reading their Bible. They are not reading the book. The Bible is still the most popular book today. It is the best perennial bestseller. Every second of every day, a Bible is sold or given away. I mean, it is a prolific book, but most people don't know really what's in it. They couldn't tell you the four Gospels in order or the first five books of the Old Testament. They couldn't tell you a number of basic entities because they're not reading that book, even though it is very prolific. And as a result, they really don't know the doctrines and the teachings that are there that emanate from Christ and the apostles and were put within the church.
So as we understand that Jesus Christ said, I will build my church, not my churches, but my church, I think we've got to conclude by asking the question, how do we know the true church of God?
Yeah, he didn't come to build a denomination. He came to found a body of people imbued with the Spirit of God to follow him and to do his will. And I think the answer to the question is that as God shows us, we should ask God to show us from his word the way to live. As God shows us, as we walk in the light, we can progress in the light. A good understanding of those who keep his commandments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think a very good test for a person that's wanting to really find the church of God, the church described in the Bible, is to find a church that is modeled after the church you read about in the book of Acts, a church that is keeping the commandments of God, is keeping the teachings of Christ, and is actually engaged in the very work that Christ himself did of preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Find a church that is patterned after the book you see in the book of Acts, and you will be on the right track to finding the church that Jesus built.
Christ said he would build his church. By their fruits you would know them. So we need to be doers of the word and not hearers only, and we would be blessed in the things that we do. Stay tuned. We'll wrap things up.
In almost any city on earth today, there are some who say they're Christians in a church following Jesus Christ. But with 500 different churches, many with opposing practices, who's got it right? After all, what was the church like that Jesus himself founded? Find out the surprising answer in your free copy of The Church That Jesus Built. Just call 1-888-886-8632 or go to beyondtoday.tv on the web. Get the surprising answers in your free copy of The Church That Jesus Built.
Today's Christianity often opposes the teachings of Christ. Jesus said plainly that many would follow false teachers. How can that happen? Because few understand what Jesus really taught. Many have been taught that they can selectively obey, that obedience to God's laws is no longer necessary. They believed a lie that teaches that we can disregard some of the commandments of God. We can't believe on Christ without understanding what he taught. We can't follow the Bible as God's word and not repent of disobeying God's commands. The church that Jesus built is truly converted body of people. They've been transformed by baptism and by the receiving of God's Spirit. They rely on Jesus Christ to help them live by every word of God, and they strive to follow his example in all things. Is this your Christianity? Thanks for appearing on Beyond Today, guys.
Good to be here.
When you want to understand your future, we hope you'll remember this program and look beyond today. Thanks for watching.
For the free literature offered on today's program, go online to beyondtoday.tv. Please join us again next week on Beyond Today.